What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Cool Games Inc. I'm Griffin McElroy.
I'm Nick Robinson.
Nick Robinson, how the hell are you?
I'm doing well. I'm adjusting. There's been a big sort of change in my home life. We don't have to talk about it on the show, but it's I've been sort of adjusting to things. We got a Soda Stream, and yeah, I'm dealing with this whole lifestyle having just a Pellegrino bottle that never ends, basically.
Yeah, it's like an infinite source of just sort of the best stuff. I used to have one of those, but I would get scared of the noise that it made when the soda was ready.
Every time I use it, I'm not going to lie, I kind of hide behind the counter a little bit and reach up and press the button, because I'm like, if this thing blows up and destroys, like shoots glass into my arm, I'll at
That's
least have
problem.
Another arm, but I need my it's, head.
The guarantee that they give, 99% chance it won't go blasto on your arm.
Right.
But that means every 100th bottle I make, and I've only got two arms.
Yeah, you're
so
rolling
that's
the dice.
A maximum of 200 bottles. Although that's not even really how statistics work.
It's funny because the premise of SodaStream is you can carbonate your own water, make your own like carbonated soda and stuff like that. And I think what the product is asking is like, why don't people just do this at home? And the answer, I think it turns out, is screwing a giant tube of concentrated CO2 in and then using it to blast stuff
blast
into the water
them.
And like augment the water molecules.
It's basically Deus Ex.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want that future tech in my home yet. I'm not ready for it.
Very frightening. It's kind of like a micro hadron collider that you're using.
Yeah.
It makes scary sounds.
I ate a whole mess of soup right before recording.
Interesting. Let's see how that affects it. That's a fun modifier to put on our podcast is the soup.
This one's all about mods.
Mm-hmm. We've geomodded this podcast.
This is the tavern brawl of this. This is brawl mode of Cool Games Inc. Because we've got bored with the original format, so we're gonna like do some silly stuff this
so
time.
So Griffin is doing an all soup one, and I'm doing
mostly soupy. Oh, Jesus.
Kind of a bubbly water one.
Let's do so. Oh, how did we do on the shitty game that you killed my game to do?
It was great.
All right.
We did a simulation to see which one would have sold better, and it turns out that
now how did you just Google trend that data?
Yeah.
Or
well, there's an iPhone game that's called like Game Dev Story, so I just punched it in there.
Which is the stolen one?
That might actually be the stolen one. I'm not 100% sure, but I put your bad game in it. I put my good game in it. It said good game win.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, it said popped up on the screen. Good game.
Because I've got a Google Drive spreadsheet open here right now, and I put the ideas like into two different cells. That's what they call like the data entry points in a spreadsheet.
That's right.
And mine turned green. So,
what color did mine turn? I'm just asking.
Red, definitely.
Mm.
How do we do like fungibly though? How did Dance Hunter do, like... Because you're telling me if Dance Hunter sold one copy, I assume you're going to tell me that my stealth distraction game from the Just Dance crew would have sold zero copies.
Well, I think... Okay, my math is showing me that mine sold 100% more copies than you. So there's no way you sold zero.
Yeah, that's
either
not how...
you sold one, I sold two. You sold a hundo, I sold 200. I just want you to know that my game was twice as good as yours, okay. Math-wise.
Well, dog shit. Hey, let's do some suggestions. What do you say?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you all for sending in so many good suggestions. It was a hot week. Let's hop right into it. Let's try this one from Uncanny Valley Girl. That's Lowberry on Twitter, who says, I want DDR with higher stakes. And by the way, if in the future, if the spirit moves you, please phrase your suggestions.
Yeah,
like
just
this.
Tell me, make demands of us. I like that. Don't be like, hey, what, maybe a game where... No, just like, I want this.
You could have just said... I don't think I would have included this one on the show if they had just said DDR with higher stakes.
Yeah, I like this. The pound of their fist on the table being like, this is what I need. High stakes DDR.
I want this. Could it be... So there's four panels, right, in traditional DDR.
Yeah.
There's that dumb, like, bullshit step max stuff with, like, one in the middle and
You're
then the shit's
about
diagonals.
In the groove, I believe.
I don't know what
it
was.
Wait, no, pump it up. In the
pump
groove
it up,
is a
maybe.
Different thing.
There's the one with the diagonals instead of
the five buttons.
Sides.
It's literally inside out DDR, where it's the each of the diagonals and the middle one.
Each one where DDR isn't, pump it up is.
Yeah.
And that's why it's horrible. Anyway.
Legally distinct.
Legally, it is passable. Higher stakes. So maybe on the four panels, like whichever ones your feet aren't supposed to be on, spikes emerge and there's a neurotoxin on the spikes.
That could be good. So there's a game called In the Groove, which is kind of like the short version is like Americans wanted to make their own version of DDR with their own music. You could like bring your songs to the arcade on a flash drive.
I bet that was really good. Just like a bunch of Smash Mouth.
People would bring Smash Mouth on a flash drive.
Holy shit!
Arcade.
Can you even imagine what a step routine, even on like max settings for All Star, would be like? It'd be so slow. Are you kidding me?
It's not really like it's a cool place, and you say it gets cold. Like that's not very hard. That's like a couple of eighth notes in there. That's like a. I'd say that's a six on heavy mode. That's not very tough.
But I mean, you get Bare Naked Ladies 1 week, and then in that fucking sick ass hip hop break in the middle.
Yes.
That, like, dank rap bridge that song has, I would lose my feet on that one.
Well, it's fine. Like, a lot of the home versions of DDR would, like, try to incorporate, like, Chemical Brothers and, like, Britney Spears songs into it, and they would always be, like, the wackest, lamest 7-foot step charts that are just, like, not even worth. Anyways, what's interesting about In the Groove is they added a type of note to DDR called bomb notes, which were these sort of spiky mine things that crept up the screen, and if your foot was touching the pad, when that reached the arrows, you would lose health. So
okay,
maybe that, but it's bombs.
You lose health.
Yeah, you no, lose you, health.
You lose some health.
So that's an option. That's one way to heighten the stakes is physical danger. What are some other ways to heighten the stakes? Gambling, I guess, is a thing you could do, like a financial stake.
It only activates if you're nude while playing it, but there's a sort of a booth around you, so it's a private situation. And every time you miss a note, maybe that curtain parts a little bit more.
Yeah, maybe it's like those in L.A., they have those like cryotherapy things where your head's just poking out. It's like one of those, but every time you miss an
arrow, time you miss a note,
it drops a little bit.
See, I just a little bit more. But then, you know, the problem with that is we're going to have a nasty boy that rolls up on tilt like, oh,
oops.
No, I keep missing the
Sorry,
notes.
I was checking my phone. I missed the first 45 seconds of the song.
I
now
think
I'm
this one's got
around.
A bug in the programming. Anyway, I'm going to keep going.
This guy's an interesting guy because his character is a pervert, but his voice is like a chill surfer bro that you've chosen.
Anyone can be a pervert. Not all perverts are like, I'm a pervert. A lot of people can just be like, hi, how's it going? My name's Nick Robinson.
I like that you don't necessarily like relegate him to having a pervert's voice. You gave him some depth that I think I wasn't expecting.
By the way, when I said that about Nick Robinson being a pervert, I was talking about the Jurassic World actor. I hope
Thank
you know
you.
That. I would never say that. Can we tell the story of how when we were at E3, there were two, and we weren't together the whole time we were at E3, so maybe there were more, but I was there for two instances where you got checked in as very, very special backstage guest Nick Robinson while the rest of us got like press passes.
We went to pick up our E3 badge, and I was like, Nick Robinson? And they're like, huh, weird. All of your Polygon coworkers who you're standing with are getting press passes, but you've got like
the
guest
fucking
of honor.
South by Southwest, and it happened at the EA Play thing too. It was like, come backstage and like get fucking high with Jamie Foxx.
There was just a small cartoon drawing of Snoop Dogg on my badge, and I was like, why doesn't Griffin have this?
This is weird. And it's because, like, I guess Jurassic World actor Nick Robinson was there, and both times you gave back the badge, and shit, that would have been way better if you hadn't done that.
Yeah, I guess I was nervous. I thought that maybe I would lose access by being that Nick Robinson. Do you think Griffin, okay, I'm 26 now.
Okay.
Is it too late for me to rebrand completely?
Hi, I'm Nicholas Robb.
I've thought about just being Nicholas Robinson. Is it, can I be Nicholas? Could you, like, you as a friend, could you adjust to calling me Nicholas, do you think?
I could adjust to calling you Robb.
I don't want to be Robb. That's a kind of a common name, but
What's your middle name?
Holden.
That's pretty fucking good.
Just be Holden Robinson?
Holden, Holdy. Holy Rob.
I've got Nicholas. I've got kind of the Spanish spelling, the N-I-C-O-L-A-S. There's no H in there. So that's good for SEO.
Nico.
Yeah. How about Nico?
Nico's so
Hell yeah.
Good.
I'm a Love Live character. Let's get it. Here's an idea from Dumb Computer, Monodads on Twitter. And Griffin, I think you're going to have a kind of a visceral reaction to it, but I want you to fight through it and actually try to imagine this game. The game that this person submits is like L.A. Noir, but everyone's face has boob physics. So there's no nudity. There's nothing lewd.
Are we talking about like some Tecmo Koi level boob physics?
100%. Okay. Like Dead or Alive 3, you went into the options and set your age to 99.
Yeah.
And everything's flopping everywhere. Like, I love this because it's the confluence of, I think, two of the most surreal, uncanny valley-ass pieces of gaming
tech we've ever seen,
which is those spooky fucking ghost face people in L.A. Noir, but their faces kind of have a slouch to them, and, like, I don't know, let's say, what was the guy from L.A. Noir named?
Detective
Jim North.
Yeah.
So L.A. Noir guy turns around because he sees a clue and his face just kind of bounces
It takes his face like a good 5 seconds to like settle down.
I love that. I don't know that there's like a full-fledged $60 retail product, but maybe like an L.A. Noir 1.5 where this is a fun, goofy set. You know how Uncharted 4 has all those little things you can turn on?
So good. Man, I'm worried Uncharted 4 is going to be like one of those games where we get to the end of the year and I forgot that it came out this year. But it's so damn good.
A real humdinger.
Can I say, it's end of June. We are officially, it's July 1st when this gets released. We're officially halfway through the year.
Right.
It's already kind of a fucking hot goatee race.
I feel like it, yeah. Are you trying for Inside?
Inside, I still haven't played, but I hear it's very, very good. Zero Time Dilemma.
Yeah,
hot
you like it?
Shit, yeah, it's good. I played some good-ass video games this year, man. Dark Souls 3, that came out this year.
That's true.
It's bonkers. All right.
Overwatch.
Overwatch. Yes. It's such a man. All right. Anyway, it's been a bad year for literally everything else, but
but the video games are okay.
The video games are hot. How about this one? And it was sent in by Josh Design Gem on Twitter, who says, "NBA 4K16. Now life is ball."
Ooh. Okay. That's a big leap forward.
I guess this would take place in the year 4000. Well, it'll be 4015, right?
That's true. Like they usually release sports conventions.
So 4015.
So everything has changed except for the fact that sports games are still coming out just a year ahead of schedule to kind of keep that name on the shelf a little longer.
I was more interested in talking about this because I think the opportunity is so fucking rich for Mario Tennis or Mario Golf, the good ones of just like full-blown basketball RPG with like a Tony Hawk Underground style campaign, which I know some of that shit's in the NBA games, but like I'm talking you don't like get signed by a team right away. Like you start out and you're just playing street ball and you're working on like, you would still specialize it with like dunks and stuff like that, and it would be a super simple control scheme. I'm imagining like NBA Jam again,
something
arcadey, but like with a definite like it could be an equipment system with like different shorts, and you would have like dunk stats, three pointers, two pointers, assists, all those stats, RPG stats that you could level up. And then like late game, maybe you make the NBA, but probably not because most folks don't. But it's like a proper RPG where you're like with a career mode that's like the whole game, and that's all it is. Mm. Like and have Treasure make it.
I'm kind of like, have you heard of the game Pyre? It's the new game from Supergiant, who made Bastion.
That's like a sport game, yeah?
Yeah, it's like a single-player role-playing game that's also kind of you're in an ancient, like, competitive sport in this sort of very mystical realm.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a sports game, but it's also, so far, just a single-player game. And they haven't really decided whether it's going to have a multiplayer component yet. Maybe that, but for basketball, but it's the year 4000 and change.
I think I just want to get into a sport game. And it's
been a while, huh?
It's not happened. I can't remember the last one that I got. I mean, I haven't gotten into a sport game in like a couple console generations.
Yeah, I think
not since like original Xbox, like NFL 2K1 or whatever, 2K5, have I like really gotten into one.
It takes some gussying up. Like, I think for a lot of people, myself included, Rocket League is like the closest thing to an exception to that. Where
that
grabbed me by the ghoulies, as they say,
right by the old ghouls,
and did not let go.
You got one?
Yeah, sure. Here's one from Earl Persons. It's Avid Chat Monster on Twitter. who says, a game that involves pulling out your internal memory, like in the Psychomantis scene of MGS1. So I think what this person is saying is, instead of yanking the controller out, you got to really unscrew your Xbox One.
You're disassembling your MOBO.
Yeah, and just like kind of dismount that SSD you put in there.
I'm all for this, and like, let's talk about it and develop it out. That's what mm-hmm. we do. We're idea wizards. We're thought warlocks. But how's it gonna do the stuff? Because I don't know. A lot of people talk about, they say words like RAM, they say words like mm-hmm. MOBO, they say words like video batteries,
right.
just all like the different ports, there's IO ports.
The GPU connects to the CPU.
The
PPU.
The CPU. And a lot of people say stuff like that, you know, video batteries. But, like, nobody really knows, like, what these pieces
do. Nobody knows what it means. And that's, to me, I mean, I know people like to joke about, oh, this Skynet's gonna... But, like, nobody knows how computers work anymore. So we're kind of... They already won, right?
The
battle's over. They know how our guts work. We don't know how their guts work.
Could there be a game, though, where maybe the video game part of it is just, like... you're a red circle, which is meant to represent a ball, and there's a fence. And you just have to keep moving back and forth, jumping over the fence, and you get a point each time. Yay! But the real game is, how much weight can you reduce off of your Xbox while still allowing the game to run?
Like, you need to still be able to score points.
Yeah, you're so maybe it's a co-op game where one player's playing and just like running and jumping with the ball, and then you reach in and you see one of those like little video batteries that looks like a fucking city from Tron, and you're like, all right, let me get a butter knife in there and pop,
right?
And like, then it's like, well, I can't see the red ball anymore, but like, I still, you didn't pop off the sound cube, so that's rolling.
Important. I think right off the bat you can just tear that disk drive right out, because I've had my Xbox One for 3 fucking years and I haven't used the disk drive on it a single time.
Holy shit, that's a good point.
Strip that out.
Let me look at my desk is right next to the shelf I have all my games on. Let me see what Xbox One video games.
Oh, you like hit eject on it and see what's inside?
I have Just Cause 3 on physical media. No, I'm looking at like my actual collection of Xbox One games.
Oh, okay, okay.
I got Just Cause 3 on Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. The rest are in the fucking cloud or wherever they go.
Right. I think there's like 2 physical games I have, and I think I got that special edition of Overwatch, which has a disc for the PC version. I haven't had a computer with a disc drive on it since 1990.
Yeah, you pop that disk drive out. If we are doing the Xbox One, like, you would probably unscrew it and see the Kinect port, and then you'd like pull on it and you'd be like, "Oh, this isn't attached.
It doesn't even connect to anything."
That's weird. It wasn't attached. That's so strange.
I feel like, I mean, like, if you look at the Xbox One S, which is literally 1/4 of the size of the Xbox One, I think that is telling us that at least you grab a handful of wires and parts out of your Xbox One and yank it out.
And you pull
it. Odds are it's not going to... There's a 3 in 4 chance that you're going to be fine if you just
now
yank something out.
Are we going to get some shocksies going? Are we going to get a little bit of that?
I think the way it works is
electrical...
as long as you touch the inside of the Xbox One case, that grounds you, and so you're
interesting.
Safe.
As long as you're wearing... I saw this movie called Deep Blue Sea, and it did have LL Cool J in it, and at one part... he was wearing a cross necklace, and he stabbed a shark in the eyeball with it. And this shark was super smart because they were doing stuff to his brain to try and cure Alzheimer's. This movie is exceptional.
This seems like a good movie, Griffin.
I would say it's probably one of the first movies. I know you haven't seen any movies, so like, if I was to make you a list of movies to see,
first
number
three
one
movies
would be Deep Blue Sea. Number 2 would be Uncle Fucking Buck.
I'm still not clear if that's a movie or a TV show.
If you start get me talking about that can of chestnuts, I'm going to get so angry.
That's the rest of the episode, I guess. Well, how about I distract you with another idea?
Okay, I got a bunch of goodens, though.
All right. Well, here's one from what_max on Twitter, who says, explain to the cashier why you're back for a third sandwich. And what I enjoy about this is, I feel like you go get a sandwich at the Safeway or whatever, you check out, you eat it, you've got a little bit of room left in your tummy, so you come back for a second one. I think that's an easy excuse to make. You're like, oh, my coworker, I told him I'd pick him up like a turkey and cheddar on some wheat
bread. One's for a dog.
Right. Like, how do you explain the third one? You're back for a third time. He didn't really believe you the second time.
Oh my God, this just happened to me. I was at the airport, and I bought, because we were flying back from New York, and I got me and my wife some sandwiches, and I realized, oh, she can't eat deli meat. She's pregnant. So I had to go back, and I did buy a third sandwich, and they didn't ask questions. I think they just take the money and they're happy with it.
Right. I think the part of this where you're explaining to the cashier why you're back is some, like, the lady doth protest too much type shit. Like, you could just say nothing. No one is as self-conscious about your store purchases as you are.
Yeah,
that
this is America.
Guarantee.
I think I'm just going to eat three of them. So.
Right.
It's a three a day.
He'll be confused why you didn't just buy the three-pack of sandwiches to begin with that they've got right there for, like, $4.99.
How about this one? It was sent in by Kyle Backstrom, Rogue Squirrel, who says, Griffin McElroy Simulator developed the world's best game idea and watches two hacks tear it apart in favor of a horror MMO.
Okay, so it's kind of a fiction game. That's fun. They do kind of a pretend thing. That could be a cool situation.
How about this one from Weedio? It's Weed... -EO, and there's like an emoji of like a big long face on there. That's Sir5000 on Twitter, who says, Pokemon, stop!
Interesting. So I was actually co-writing a hands-on impressions piece of Pokemon Go with our colleague Allegra Frank, and at one point, because we were writing like a kind of back and forth, like call and response message style thing, where like she'd write something, I'd write something. I did at one point... The first words I typed in the document were more like Pokemon stop, and she did not let me keep that in there.
And that's the interesting thing. I guess we don't really, I don't really have any ideas for how to develop this into a video game. I just needed a place to fucking talk to a friend, like a safe space to talk to a friend about Pokemon Go.
Yeah, what do you want to know? I've been playing it for a week now.
I guess my main question is like, what the fuck are they even doing over there?
Yeah, like the Growlithe.
Hey, just walk to the park and then you can look at an Oddish. Nobody wants.
So the thing about Pokemon Go is that it feels like it was made in a laboratory, like custom crafted to piss off the Griffins of the world. Like, it is so deeply dissatisfying to people who love playing the Pokemon games. But if you're like somebody who watched the TV show and that was it, and now it's like 20 years later, I think you could maybe like it. But yeah, dude, if you want like Pokemon combat, the combat in this game is literally swipe left and right to dodge the other Pokemon's attacks and then tap on your Pokemon to make it do its attack. That's the game. That's the combat.
I just, after Miitomo and this, I'm looking at that Animal Crossing game. I'm looking at that Fire Emblem game and I'm pre-hating them. I pre-hate you two for what you're going to do to me.
That seems like the safest move, for sure. I think there was I had a little bit of pre-hate in my heart for Pokemon Go, just because, like, from the second that fucking hyper-ambitious, super-dramatic Super Bowl trailer came out, I was like, all right, so this is going to crush my dreams completely. Like, there's a 0% chance that they're going to get this right. So I'm just going to go in, expect it to be bad. And with that expectation in mind, I was totally satisfied because it was not awesome.
You want to speed round it?
Yeah, let's do some rapid-fire shits.
Okay. Aaron Prince Steli, I think I said that right, on Twitter, says, Wario Speedwagon.
Okay. How have we... So, you know what's funny? Like, we've received this submission, I think, a couple times before, and at one point somebody pointed out that Nintendo had the foresight to actually make a Mario Party minigame called Mario Speedwagon.
Oh, well, that's almost good.
Yeah. Wario Speedwagon.
It wasn't what I was expecting, but hey, you know, you got to roll with the changes.
Yeah.
That's a very popular Wario Speedwagon song.
Nice. I believe you. Here's one from Q10 Lovely on Twitter, who says, a golf game, but the ball is a frog.
Okay. And
the way I see it, there are two ways to do this. One, it's some sort of like kind of haunting fucking Spec Ops the Line situation where you got to walk up to it and... You've got a golf club and you're like, it's like a VR thing probably. You're like, this seems like it's going to hurt the frog. Do I do it? And then you do it. It hurts the frog and you feel bad. That's the art game route, right? The other route, I think, is you're kind of trying to coax this frog towards the hole.
Yeah.
Gradually.
Go. Come on.
Yeah.
You throw it on some like goldfish crackers.
I was going to ask you, what do frogs like to eat? Is it
goldfish crackers? Bro, they'll lose their fucking mind for it.
Pizza or regular? And are they flavor blasted? Or is
no,
that a,
if
is
you
that
flavor blast it, it will kill the toad.
Right. It's got kind of a snail. There's
Don't
so much salt
toad.
On it.
It's
got
oh,
a
it's
snail
too
effect.
Much sodium.
What you got?
Man, I'd fuck with a good golf RPG, too. I used my Vita for the first time in a billion years to play Zero Time Dilemma and realized I still had that Hot Shots Golf PS Vita game on there. That was good. A good golf RPG. Sports are great. If you RPG them up good enough, sports are good. It's such an untapped market.
It's got to just be like a straight numbers game of like, yeah, they want to make that game too, but if you want your sports game to sell any copies, you got to put LeBron James inside of it. And LeBron James doesn't want to be in a game where his arms are like tentacles or whatever.
And he's like trying to get a frog in a hole.
Right. Well, maybe. I mean, you never know unless you ask, is what I find.
So.
Here's a suggestion from Dave O'Leary 23, who says, a fully functional Earth simulator featuring every single person alive, but you can't zoom in further than this, and then it's just a picture of the Earth.
Okay.
Which I like because it's kind of a... Griffin, we're liars.
Okay.
We're you and I in this like we make errors about game development, and at some point when we started this project we were trying to make good games, but at this point we have elevated ourselves to I think basically just con artists, right?
I don't think that's necessarily true, considering like the second episode we were talking about like how to trick people into buying Cook for Cube.
Okay, so maybe that was the
so maybe just Grandma Wants It Al Dente, Grandma Needs It Al Dente was the only pure game we've ever done.
Yeah, and then like we were kind of crushed by the market and by the reality of what game development is like, and now we're just these insidious fucking iOS app makers trying to make our version of like, because I think this could be our version of Peter Molyneux's Curiosity, you know what I
yeah.
mean? Like where it's just we can say that there's a lot going on here without actually having to program any of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's very appealing because I think the...
Yeah, we just get a bunch of press in a room and then we have them sign on a whiteboard. You will be able to zoom in to the Earth and see everybody.
that's an awfully specific reference.
How about this one on the opposite end of things from Illegal Witch Boy in LTM on Twitter, who says, VR astral projection simulator with Google Street View integration.
Whoa.
So this is, I think something like this launched with the Wii U, or I remember them like demoing it. And
yes,
like
no,
when they demoed it, it was like, oh, cool, it's Google Street View.
Yeah, it's Google Street View where you hold your Wii U gamepad out straight in front of you with your elbows locked and like rotate around in your chair to
it's
look
just,
at shit.
It's just like I'm there and doing the dance move from Thriller constantly.
So fun fact, I feel like I had an email from Nintendo recently that they actually shut that down.
Oh, wow, why?
I don't know, they shut down the Google Street View Wii U app. I guess it was just way too expensive to run.
So this would be a game where maybe you're sitting in a tent or something and it's getting very hot in the tent and then you like lay down and you pass out and then like you are in North Dakota.
I like that. So are you passing out in a tent in the game or in real life?
Shit, probably in the game.
Because I think there's a fun sort of reality bending thing we could do here where this is a sort of an event game, like a
holy
an exhibit that people show up
shit.
To. We put them in a tent. We heat them up so bad that they pass out. They wake up with the VR on. They forgot that the VR is on and they're in another realm.
On some sound self shit. Loving
I actually,
it.
I had an idea for a sort of exhibit once you could do in VR where you walk into a room and you put on the VR goggles, and then in the VR game, you walk into an identical-looking room, and then you put on the VR goggles in that game, and then in that game, you walk into a room, and you put on the VR goggles, and then there's a button you can press to take off the goggles, and you sort of jump back out of each layer, and then like, and then maybe we build a room around them while they're playing the game that looks like another layer. I haven't really thought this
that
all the way
through.
That
sounds like, but like I wanted, some sort of trap.
It's kind of a mind freak MoMA exhibit is how I'm
I mean I get
it.
We're trying to get like some of our fucking credit back after you just outed us as being con men,
right?
But I would like to make like any money.
This is not a profitable venture. This
what
is
if,
a trick and a trap.
What if this VR astral projection simulator using the whole planet on Google Street View was a multiplayer thing, so it wouldn't be a full 3D environment, right? You'd be basically stuck to where the streets are. But you could like walk around with other people and you could see when other people like pass you by on the street. That's cool enough, but
yeah, make it fun for
but
them.
Somewhere in the whole planet, there's a treasure chest or a magic orb. And whoever finds it wins.
And does a second one appear or does the whole game shut down? Like, what happens after it gets found?
I think if you find the first one, then you get a special avatar and you get to decide where the next orb is hidden.
Oh, that's fun.
So it's just like, it's just a worldwide scavenger hunt. In VR Google Street View.
And to be 100% clear, there's no warmer, colder, like there's no clues, right?
I think every week there would have to be like a clue. So it'd be
right.
like
it's
would
on
be
this
like,
continent.
Yeah, Africa. Get there. It's great. And then you get there and it's like, oh man, where Madagascar. Oh man, I was in Madagascar. I fucking knew it.
I searched 99% of Madagascar, but I guess I didn't look behind that house.
That would be good. Let's put a pin in that. Google Street View pin in that and come back to it. We're speed rounding it, and that was very slow.
Yeah,
like
no,
speed round, just to like, for instance, would be like Christian Ang said in this one, the Christian Ang on Twitter, Tony Shalhoub that ass.
Okay, let me speed round even faster away from that. Here's one from CoolGary.net, who says, a game where you're a cat trying to kill your human, which I think is good insofar as it reminds me of the GameCube game Geist, where you're kind ghost inhabiting various objects. But in this, you're not invisible. You're a cat trying to over maybe a vase on a high shelf onto your human.
Would this be, I mean, stairs would be OP in this, like the stair strat. Hey, everybody, it's me. Blockman 69 here to show you the popular stairs strat for the tabby class.
So this is kind of a like a Geist meets Who's Your Daddy thing then.
Yes, it would definitely be me. Yeah, definitely. I was about to say Who's Your Daddy, only Who's Your Kitty,
Who's Your Caddy.
Steven, the only alpaca on Twitter, says a choose your own adventure game a la Telltale, but you have to fax in your answers. It's like, do you want to kill Melissa's dad, who might or might not have gotten bitten or not? You have 45 minutes to decide, because that's about how long it takes to like faxes work. Can I fax from my printer?
What you're describing is a sort of reverse Majestic, where instead of you getting texts and phone calls and faxes to keep you in this ARG, you're actually feeding that stuff into the game via all these peripheral input. Okay, there's something to that.
Apparently not much.
Seemingly not much. All right, here's one from Not Ryan West on Twitter, who says, explain your Tumblr to your dad simulator 2017.
I mean, that's easy. It's just sort of psychosexual portrayals of the glove from the Hamburger Helper commercials.
All the way down?
What do you mean?
Well, hold on a sec, actually.
No, were you suggesting that the nude aspect of the Hamburger Helper glove would be like he's attached to an arm, like there's an arm inside of him?
Yeah.
And then the arm is attached to a nude person? Oh, Jesus.
Howdy.
Hey, Dad.
What's up?
Not much. Can I get your help with, I'm doing an experiment for my podcast, and I would love your help with something. Are you busy?
Sure. Yeah.
Alrighty. I need you to go to babylonian.tumblr.com.
Yeah.
And we're going to look at some images together, and I'm going to see if I can help you kind of understand them.
Okay. Tumblr, no E.
No. That's right, no E. That's correct.
Yeah. Oh, this says, this site has been blocked by the network administrator.
Oh, damn. All right. Well, maybe we can, we'll talk when you get home, and I can kind of help you through it. But thank you for trying.
I could probably get it on my phone, though.
You know, all right, yeah, let's give it a shot on your phone. Remember, no E.
If you weren't sending me to all these janky sites, you know, it wouldn't be a problem.
That's true. That's my bad. I can understand why this site might be blocked by your work.
Spelled it wrong. All right, almost there. There is nothing here. Whatever you were looking for doesn't currently exist at this address. It's a spinning disco mirror ball.
Okay. Well, I think it sounds like there's a typo in the URL.
Oh, Babylon. Oh, yeah, there is. It's B-A-Y. Hold on a sec.
Yeah. No problem.
How about if we start from scratch?
Yeah, let's just delete the whole thing and type it from the beginning.
Yeah, I got it. L-O-M-I-A-N.
Yeah. .tumblr. No E.
This is awesome. I feel like I'm 105 years old. Okay. I've been to Tumblr before. Oh, dang, man. Wait a minute. Oh. My phone is using my Wi-Fi from work, so I have to...
You got blocked again, huh?
I have to... Right. I'm still blocked. I have to undo that. Okay.
And you're really... You got to jump through a lot of hoops
this is like
to get on...
hackers.
Get on this blog, yeah.
This better be a damn good blog. That's
It's not going to be.
I promise it is. It's so good.
What if we did a FaceTime audio with it? Let's do that.
Yeah, that would work great.
I opened up babylonian.tumblr.com.
Uh-huh.
I'm there now, believe it or not.
Sweet. All right, so what we're going to do...
So Nick, just walk them through.
Yeah. So we got a suggestion on our podcast, which was I'm going to kind of walk you through and explain some of these images to you, and you tell me what you think that they are, and I can kind of help work you through it. So let's start from the second one here, this man with this dog.
Wait, so I'm at the front page. It says, click here for more good-ass posts.
Yeah, well, that's just the header.
It's profanity, so that's great.
Yeah, you can just keep scrolling. Describe what's going on in this photo to me.
Okay, well, I got to make it bigger.
All right.
Okay, so there's an elderly, a geriatric gentleman in a hospital bed.
Yeah.
With a dog whose paw is covering the man's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a nurse that seems somewhat indifferent to the process.
Right, right, right.
And then there's something, an image over the older man's head. A sports car, okay. I don't know. Maybe the dog is assisting the old man in meditating or in fantasizing about his sports car. Oh, it could be that the dog is closing the man's eyes.
Right.
He died and he's going to sports car heaven.
That could be true. Okay, well let's look at the next set of images here. Tell me the next image you see.
Okay, the next one is
What do you got there?
I got a man with a twitching dog ear,
mm-hmm.
and it's an illustration of a man with a twitching dog ear and what appears to be a face that looks like a gas mask.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is a fan art for a video game called Overwatch.
Okay.
And there's a character named Soldier76, and somebody on Tumblr was doing a drawing of him, and they were trying to demonstrate how to make animations, and they wound up drawing Soldier76 with some little cat or dog ears.
Okay.
And that image is very popular online now.
The Soldier76 with cat or dog ears?
Mm-hmm. The people like that.
Sure, of course. Why not? What's not to like?
Exactly. And then, last, we've got this next one.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Sonic.
You can read it. Sec.
Well, it's a little too big. There we go. Hey, Sonic, is that shadow with you? Yeah. Isn't he dead? Long story, he's better now. Cool. Okay. Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
So is that, that's not Knuckles.
No, that's not Knuckles. That's the alligator from Knuckles Chaotix. So I can see he's a friend of Knuckles.
So Knuckles and this guy with the black and the red are friends?
Well, Shadow is not really anyone's friend. He's got a lot. He's like a very emotional hedgehog, and he's very dark.
Okay, so where's the alligator / crocodile fit in?
He's the one who's Knuckles' friend. And this is a panel, an out of context panel from the Sonic the Hedgehog comics. You remember those Archie Sonic comics, right?
Yeah, I sure do.
Yeah,
those are great.
So this is a panel from that where Sonic is explaining that Knuckles died and then came back to life. And when you remove it from the context, it's kind of very funny. And that's got 36,000 reblogs on Tumblr.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's a little bit surprising.
Well, thank you for your time.
Well, I'm happy to help where I can.
Yeah, I'm glad I could help sort of explain to you what's going on my personal Tumblr.
Okay, yeah, I'm glad that I could also learn about that. And now I'm going to get back to reviewing the Watershed Protection Ordinance.
Okay, thanks so much, Dad.
Sure thing.
Bye.
Bye bye.
That's some good priorities.
Yeah, he's kind of pulls in a stark relief how different his career and my career are sometimes.
I don't know. I think they're kind of similar. He's protecting probably literal hedgehogs.
Yeah, it's true. There are some hedgehogs who are being, the watershed ordinance is there to keep them safe. So,
let's just bounce through a couple more because I don't know that we've got the nug yet.
Yeah, me neither.
BD Bug Data on Twitter says, can't think of one. All right.
Okay. It's a good contribution.
I mean, nobody's nerfed. I almost said it regularly. Got one here, and it's from what looks like a Sega Genesis game, maybe a little bit like what was that? Beat 'em up?
Streets of Rage?
Streets of Rage, yeah. It looks like a man, maybe a police detective. He's got a cigar. Well, no, it's not a cigar. It looks like it may have been a cigar in another version of the game, but in this censored version of the game, it looks like he's holding a pin, a big fat pin to his mouth. Anyway, this disheveled mustachioed man who looks like maybe a police sergeant who's had a very long day is saying, stay out of the dragon zone. So
so he's a I guess he's the police sheriff, the police chief of a town that has direct access to a dragon zone.
Yeah.
Which, if you're a officer of the law, that is a nightmare assignment, getting assigned to the town adjacent to the dragon zone.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of the kids want to go in there.
Maybe he is a police guy in Skyrim who's just like, don't, come on. It's not worth it.
Now I think we're getting somewhere. Because the thing about Skyrim to me that is just boring as shit is everything about it. But also the setting, I think, is just so fucking exactly every fantasy thing you've ever done.
We should do a Let's Play series then.
Yeah.
Where we play Skyrim and do dumb whack shit. Because that's the good thing about that game is you can play as a gigantic tiger who just punches people apart and has telekinesis and shit.
Well, I'm thinking we actually take this dude's idea and use it to augment this Let's Play. Because I love the idea of a kind of out of his element police officer.
Yeah.
Like a mustachioed, pot-bellied cop working his way through.
The Dragon Zone would totally be achievable with all the mods that are available for this game now. Like there's probably a version of this game where you are a police sergeant who like doesn't fight the dragon but romances and makes love to them.
That is almost definitely achievable with today's tech. And maybe we could get that running on consoles too, thanks to the upcoming remaster.
Sorry, I have a bunch here. I don't know. I'm just letting them fly.
You know, you pound through. I think you got more than I do this week, so let's just pound through some.
Winged Robot, Lost Gash on Twitter says, Osmosis Jones MMO. Have we done this? Because it's good, and I don't know if we've done it.
I think we've talked about Osmosis Jones before, but never in a massively multiplayer context.
Probably in a Vore way, huh?
Yeah, probably.
But we've all come and grown a lot as a nation. Mm-hmm. You got the built-in factions, right? Like the Alliance Horde, like you can be medicine, white blood cells,
red blood cells,
mitochondria or whatever.
The gut fauna.
Digestive cells, right? Mm-hmm. But then you come in there and you got viruses, you got bacterium, you got spirochetes.
Infections.
You've got lupus.
They're kind of the horde of
the horde of these classes. But really, they're just doing what they're programmed to do. They're not necessarily good or evil, right? But it all takes place inside of different parts of Bill Murray.
Okay. So it really is truly... It's not evoking Osmosis Jones. It is Osmosis Jones. Can we get that FMV footage of Bill Murray from the original film and kind of splice that into our main story missions in a way?
I would love to watch a cut of Osmosis Jones without the cartoon.
None of the cartoon
bullshit.
It's just
Bill Murray like having gross pimples and like shitting just water.
This is a weird, like, there, I'm imagining that there was a meeting where Bill Murray was like, come on, let me see the footage. Like, oh, so we're still storyboarding it. We haven't really nailed down the animation. He's like, well, just show me the movie parts. And they're like, if you say so.
He filmed all that shit a year and a half before the cartoons had even been storyboarded. That was an enormous leap of faith from Mr. Murray.
That took a lot of trust.
So you need me to do another diarrhea scene, huh? you promised the cartoon's going to make this make sense, right? Okay.
Man, that's true. Bill Murray, when he picks a project, I get the sense that he really throws his heart and soul into it and is like, I'm going to treat this like it's going to be great. And in that case, he was right. He made the right call.
I put my John Hancock on the signature. I'll shit where you need me to, but I'm a professional. I'm a Ghostbuster, but like, just don't make me look bad.
What's amazing is they pulled it off, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. This one's very good. This one was sent in by Ogre, Tactful Ogre. Collectible monster RPG, except instead of two editions for 700 monsters, there are 700 editions with two monsters each.
Okay, so to fill up your Pokedex, like, oh, I got purple version. I have the 57th and 58th Pokemon in the Pokedex in here. So if you want to trade, I've got like 80 of both of them. So yeah. I would love to. That's kind of neat.
That would be neat, but I mean, it wouldn't be, because if it's like a 40-hour campaign or whatever, it's like, Oddish, I choose you.
Yeah.
All right, Squirtle again. All right, I win.
The Elite Four are a lot less interesting when it's like, oh, this guy's got four of this dude. This guy's got three of this dude and one of the other. This guy's got two of each. This guy's got one and three.
Welcome to the water gym. Welcome to the plant gym. This gym's all about wet plants.
Right. Welcome to the water and plant gym.
This is the very water gym. What does that mean? It's very water.
I have six of it. I have six of the Squirtle.
Welcome to Six Water Gym. There's more.
Oh, yeah. Them. You're right. It introduces a lot of complexities to make
this
it compelling.
This gym's all plants with a little bit of water.
There's 5 oddishes and a single Squirtle in the middle.
Where's it going to come? You'll never know. I will know. I have it set to shift mode, so.
That Charmander that you traded your friend for is only going to help you for 5 out of the 6 Pokemon I have in this battle.
I like this. There's a lot of potential here. First of all, couldn't be Pokemon Purple. Are you fucking kidding me, Nick? There would be 700 of these. It would have to be like...
Yeah, there are more than that many colors, huh?
Yeah.
We could just
call it Pokemon Squirtle and Oddish. Squirtle and Oddish, and you'll know like who you're going to get. Yeah.
I want the one that has Dugtrio and then the Nidoran female in it.
That's We'd have to balance it out, though, right? Like, first of all, no evolution, right? Like, these are the only 2 Pokemon.
No, because that would be, yeah, that'd be free. That'd be just giving away money.
You'd be giving
point.
Away games. So to balance it out, the dope-ass ones, it's like, this is Pokemon Mewtwo and Weedle.
Mr. Mime, yeah.
Guess which one you start out with? Probably Weedle? Yep.
That's true. I think they do this in sports sometimes when you're like picking teams. You're averaging it together. You can have like you can have either 2 okay Pokemon or 1 like toilet tier Caterpie, and then like a Charizard.
Yeah,
you know?
Or Magikarp.
You know, one thing I do like about Pokemon Go is every time you open it, there's a splash screen that warns you to like not walk directly into traffic while you're playing it, and it shows kind of a silhouetted Pokemon trainer walking directly into the mouth of a waiting Gyarados.
Man, Nick, it's difficult when I hear you say things like that. Old habits and all.
I know. I know how it is.
What are you excited about? We've talked about a lot of ideas right now. And yeah? We've got about another 10 minutes of good podcast to do.
Remind me, what do you got pinned right now? What are the ones that... Because I mean,
the Astral Projection game is pretty good. I think the 700 Pokemon games I think there's a nug in there that we just were too lazy to dig up.
Yeah. For me, it's 700 Pokemon. I still actually, the golf game where your ball is a frog thing, I can't get the image out of my head of like one
Jesus.
Of those golf swing
why
meters.
Why don't you let me have this week?
Last week?
Yeah, I feel like I decidedly didn't get last week.
Yeah, you can have this one.
And I thought that this was sort of a collabo project, but apparently we're, you know.
Oh, because I got one idea through, Griffin? Is that how this works?
Yeah, you got one idea through. But that you're making it sound like the stealth game was only my shit. What hurt me the most, Nick, was that was our baby that we worked on together. And then Klepek rolled up in here, and you just like, for nothing, you abandoned me. And then he was like, yeah, that's cool. Ah. And
it's a pretty sweet Patrick Klepek impression.
And you fucking just bailed on me.
I mean,
and you left me to piss in the wind, just full of piss.
Yeah, just flapping in the wind with all pee pee coming out. I guess we could do that one this week, but my heart is
dead. No, it's dead. It's gone.
My heart's in the 700 Pokemon thing. I'm going to be honest with you.
Okay, how do we keep it? The 2 challenges. Many challenges.
Right.
Like. The big one is going to be keeping the game fun with just 2 Pokemon.
Yeah.
Maybe there's little aesthetic variations.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think there's something to be said. In this post-Dark Souls world, like, repetition and pain and games that kind of torture you are kind of in right now. So, like, imagine you've been playing and, like, you're going into battle against your 870th Kangaskhan.
Yeah.
And it's a shiny Kangaskhan. Can you imagine how fucking excited you would be?
Well, like, I'd be excited. I would buy that version because Kangaskhan was the hardest Pokemon to catch in Gen 1.
That's true.
Because they only showed up very, very rarely in the Safari Zone, and they would run away basically turn 1 every time. So you had no option but to throw a Safari Ball at them and then just like hope for the best.
Yeah, can't bring your own balls into the
Safari
Zone.
I remember me and my friends, there were like 4 of us all together. I think we were at church. I think we were like in a church like hallway or something. Maybe during like vacation Bible school or something, and like all of us were just like in the Safari Zone just like grinding it out, and then my friend Tanner finally caught one and we were like, fuck yeah, and then we just all traded it back and forth to complete all 4 of us completed our Pokedex at the same time.
My biggest Pokemon memory like that is I remember I was at like my little brother was playing a soccer game at the local elementary school, and I brought my Game Boy with Blue version in it, and I had just discovered the Game Shark.
Oh no!
And so I was punching in random codes. I had a pretty full Pokedex. I had a lot of Pokemon I cared a lot about, And I was like, let me just put in this code. I can encounter like weird stuff in the grass. So I'm walking through the tall grass and I encounter a wild Lieutenant Surge, which right off the bat, you're like, all right, the game is doing some dark shit. And the Lieutenant Surge used a move on me called like TM35. That was the name of the attack.
Oh, no.
And then my game froze, turned it off, turned it back on.
All gone.
Gave me the option. Gave me the option to start a new game from scratch.
I also had that happen to me at my friend Bryce's house. This was pre catching them all, but I had beaten the game. I just hadn't caught them all yet. Mm-hmm. And we were doing. I mean, this is why I tell my kids, like, don't do the missing no. Don't do the rare candy dupe. Like, you're not supposed to fuck with the data registries like that. You're just not. And I paid for my hubris by losing the whole set.
I know this is 2 weeks in a row talking about this, but it really does feel like some scientists meddling in like some dark fucking like human genome shit when you're in there. Like, you're breaking God's law when you're meddling with that.
I mean, SGDQ's next week. I'm like, I look forward to watching them fucking annihilate those games. How can we gamify that? How can we get that added to Pokemon's 1 through 700? And maybe that's just what we go with, because I don't know that there's 700 of anything. Maybe we could do like flavors. I think there's like 700 flavors, right? So like,
of like Jelly Belly, or
Pokemon Apple, Pokemon Spaghetti,
Pokemon Sour Apple, Pokemon Green Apple.
Maybe we name them after names. It's like Pokemon Duck, and you buy them at like gift shops at amusement parks.
So it's like the game is sold on one of those giant spinning kiosks that normally has a keychain with Bryce, Tanner, James.
What would Pokemon Nick have in it? What would the two, or Pokemon Nico? What would the two Pokemon be? Probably Pokemon, like Meowth and Persian or something like that,
I think Meowth would be good, but then how would we counterbalance that? Because I think Meowth isn't exciting. Meowth will move copies. Like, Meowth is a name people trust.
Oh, and then you got to get a Stinkeroo.
You really
got
to get a doo-doo Pokemon like Muck. Actually, Muck's kind of cool.
Muck's great. Any of the Gen 1, I think, like, is going to have some heat.
You know who it is? It's Weepin' Bell.
Yeah.
Because who gives a fuck about Weepin' Bell?
So, who's going to end up in the version... like, what is the name of the version going to be with Mr. Mime and Popplio in it?
Oh, my God. Just like...
what name is bad enough?
What's the name of the main dude from the Insane Clown Posse?
Killer Mike?
Yeah, that's Pokemon Mike.
Pokemon Mike. Ugh.
God, how excited is the kid going to be, though, who gets Pikachu in his name? Like, Pokemon Bryce has Pikachu in it, and Bryce is having a...
I mean, if we're developing it, I would probably make it Pokemon Bryce, because I think Bryce really likes Pikachu, and, like, just to, like... commemorate the things that we lost that night when we were duping. We were duping like a couple idiots.
Fuck, man. Are you still in touch with Bryce?
I haven't spoken to Bryce in many, many years.
Since that auspicious night.
Since the fateful night. I left that night and I walked home. I got home at like 3 a.m. My parents were like, what the fuck are you doing? And I was like, you never understand. You never loved anything.
I had a Doug trio that I had named Griffin.
Oh, man, this is good. Doug... Pokemon, that would be Doug Trio.
Okay, so some of them get a little silly.
Some of them get kind of a funny name. Yeah.
Okay.
What are some other ones?
Bill could have like a Bell Sprout in it.
Oh, yeah. Jackie Chan could have Hitmonchan.
There's going to be a version called Pokemon Jackie Chan?
I think so.
All right. So we're doing surnames as well. Just really custom to... because the thing is, there's only like a 5% chance that Jackie Chan notices, but if he does, that's his Facebook page is blowing up. That's like free press.
Bro, did you see? Stop what you're doing. Look, they made a Pokemon of you.
I like that.
I would buy Pokemon Jackie. I would like be flipping through, and of course they wouldn't have Pokemon Griffin. Hello? No? I've never gotten a single one of those like customized guys for myself.
Not in the top 700 most popular boy names?
No. But I would, so I'd be like flipping around like, well, there's a Gregory, and that's pretty cool. What the fuck? Pokemon Jackie Chan? Hell yeah. Who's
so that's
it?
That's something for all the Griffins of the world who can't really get their own name.
That's like the default. So, oh, we don't have your name? You might want to try this. Pokemon Jackie Chan. Pokemon Shakira.
Right.
These would be good video games. What's it going to, like, what's the actual game of it, though? Because, like, obviously two Pokemon... it's got to be modeled after a real-world setting. I'm going to say Denver.
Right. This is the Denver region. The greater Denver.
Well, they would change it. It would be called, like, Denvo.
That's what they did for the Hawaii one, right?
Yeah.
Like, isn't the name just, like, straight up... what is it?
It's just, hi!
Yeah, Hawaii.
It's just called Oahu. I think it's called the Ahola region or
yeah.
something like that.
So they, it's Aloha.
Basically,
they did Aloha,
yeah,
but they move the letters around, I think.
So the Denvo region, you're like going up in the mountains. Maybe you like have to pop over to Breckenridge. Maybe like the Final Four is in like the Broncos football field. That's good shit.
That's exciting.
How do we get to, how do you complete the Pokedex though? Because it made, when we talked about how you can't evolve, it made it sound like two Pokemon, that's it. No evolvesies, no tradesies, whatsoever.
Right.
But I think you got to have tradesies or else nobody's going to buy the game.
Well, the original Pokemon games had a couple of Pokemon. I think Kadabra was one of them. There were Pokemon where in order to evolve them, they had to be traded.
Oh.
And that would like trigger their evolution. What if every Pokemon works that way?
Because
I think this whole game is built around encouraging people to catch them all with their friends sitting in church like you did.
Yeah, maybe we do like rip some of that Pokemon Go stuff so that like if you're at church, you can catch a certain type of Pokemon. If you're at, I don't know, a hospital.
The other day, my girlfriend brought up the idea of how cool it would be if Pokemon Go could tell you were in a zoo and that was the Safari Zone.
Holy shit, you were just like in a zoo and it was just like nonstop, crazy, like wall-to-wall mons everywhere.
That's some They Live shit, though, where you look at your phone while looking into a cage at the zoo and you see like eight Mr. Mimes all voguing against the glass. Like,
and
that's
then you
haunting.
turn your phone at them and you're like, yes, this is going to be awesome. And then you just tap the fucking screen a whole bunch.
Yeah, that's the game.
Our version of Pokemon Denvo is so much better.
Because it just, they did, you know what we did that was so bold compared to Pokemon Go? We used the same fucking combat
Pokemon
that we've been using for 20 years. We fucking used actual Pokemon combat. Revolutionary.
Fucking Miitomo couldn't even adapt the, like, two gameplay mechanics from Tomodachi Life.
The two things you can, like, do.
Where you could, like, buy people food, and then they could get married. You couldn't even do that? There's two fucking things.
Yeah,
I'm gonna get Animal Crossing and it'll be like, all right, time to do some chores for my neighbors, get bells and buy furniture. It's like, oh, we can't do that. But you can write letters to your friends.
Mm-hmm. You can't shake the tree, but you can like
you
stand next to it.
You can't shake the tree, but the tree is there. Will furniture fall out of it? No, mm-hmm. But you can write letters
furniture.
You can write letters to your friends. You can talk about how much you like the show Two Broke Girls. Fuck off.
Well, let me get you back on track a little bit. Griffin, what would be the two Pokemon, if there was a Pokemon Griffin? Yeah, what would you put in there?
I mean, for me, it would just be like maximum strategic value, right?
Okay, so something with like a high IV.
I don't want to, well, I don't want to min-max it, right? Because I don't want it to be like Mewtwo and Kakuna. I want it to be like two, I would just go two middle of the road or like one pretty good and one like only slightly below average Pokemon, right?
Okay.
Because I think but
that's
then
smart,
again,
if you come up against someone who has the one you're weak against and it's your best guy's out, you still need a backup guy who's like Deese.
Yeah, I mean, there are Pokemon that are better than others, right? And there are Pokemon that you can, if up against like the right team composition, you just do a clean sweep. So really, that's what it's going to boil down to. So like, I don't know. I feel like a good dragon be nice to have. Maybe a, let me think about this. Maybe a Garchomp.
This is really funny. Do you think
fucking asked. Who would yours be?
Mine?
Yeah.
Tangela.
Just because it sounds like Angela and that's funny to you or something?
Yeah. Angela would kind of assume she'd get Tangela. But no, I get Tangela. And then, fuck, I don't know, man.
You know what sucks? I would actually really like Hitmonchan because I always loved him in Gym 1. Because first of all, he looked badass and he was person shaped, and I love the idea.
Broad shoulders.
I love the idea of what was essentially a little boy a little boy who was like on a quest to like become the world's greatest Pokemon trainer would then like basically kidnap an adult man wearing boxing gloves.
There's a good, I'd say 7-8% of the original 151 that are just dudes.
That are just adult people.
Fucking Jinx, Mr. Mime, Hitmonlee, Hitmonchan.
Poliwrath.
Yeah. Machoke is just a blue guy.
Machoke, Machant, like, yeah, a lot of them are. I would like Hitmonchan, but Jackie Chan fucking swooped them all up.
That's true. You want Hitmonlee? Will that do anything for you?
Nobody wants Hitmonlee.
That's true.
If you picked Hitmonlee over Hitmonchan ever, you're a dunce.
Yeah.
Hitmonchan had elemental punches. Get the rest of that shit out of here. I got really worked up today, Nick.
Yeah. Well, that's what I know. When we dip our toes in the Pokemon waters, that's you're gonna get riled up.
I just like Jim Tindo, make a game. Get on the phone and play a game that's good, and then try to make one of those.
Like, have you guys seen that other people are doing full-fledged video games on the iPhone?
It's crazy.
There's literally, though, like Nintendo keeps saying though over and over, they're like, we really want to make sure we're not cannibalizing. Like, we want to make things, iPhone experiences that point people back to our hardware. It's like, okay, but make a good game, though. Make a good video game to play for me to play and enjoy. I don't want a game that reminds me of how you guys make good video games somewhere else. Like, I'm not going to download that. That's no fun for anybody.
You either make better games on that, or make a smaller, newer 3DS that I can make fucking phone calls and texts from.
No, that.
I just gave myself shivers thinking about the Nintendo phone and what a bad, bad thing that would end up being, probably. Yeah.
That would be really shitty. There would not be a web browser for like the first 18 months of that phone being out.
I mean, I'm saying that, but I'm calling you to record this podcast on my PlayStation phone with the slide-out dock and those good thumb pads.
Yeah. That's the good thing. They got Minecraft on that now.
Dude, they got Minecraft. They got Crash Bandicoot. They got Siphon Filter. They got text.
The big three.
They got calculator. Weather is coming in summer 2019. Can we make a Pokemon game? This is something we should probably... you know, broach the subject earlier.
Mm-hmm.
If not, then we just add it to the pile of like weirdly dark and gothic and violent Pokemon hacked ROMs.
Okay.
Like Pokemon Blood Crimson.
There's like a creepy pasta element to it where like if you lose in Pokemon Bryce, your name just vanishes from your government ID.
Yes.
And now you don't have a name anymore.
No.
Or a mouth. It's scary.
You become Jackie Chan. Watched Rush Hour the other day.
How'd that treat you?
That movie's exceptionally racist. Thanks for listening to Cool Games, Inc.
Yeah.
We're a video game design podcast at Polygon.com.
By and for game developers.
We love our game devs here. Thanks for all the submissions again. We're probably going to change up how we do those submissions because, like we talked about last week, it has become... it's gotten to the point now where, like, I am not able to read even half of the submissions because a literal thousands of them come in, like, the span of a half hour. So we got to change something. We're trying to figure out a better way to do it, so stay tuned for that. Anything else? Thanks to everybody who's said nice things about the show on Twitter.
Yeah.
Thanks for leaving us iTunes reviews, telling friends.
I want to say, each week we get, like, little pieces of like fan box art and stuff that trickles in, and we like I look at all of that and it always makes me extremely happy. I love all that shit. That is so nice and thoughtful of y'all.
I have friends now. Sorry, I just like got a link on Facebook from a friend who was like, you heard about this, with a link to an NPR All Things Considered article about Pokemon Go. It's like now it's just gonna be, I'm gonna be confronted. Maybe I should fucking play it.
You absolutely should, but man, it sounds like your expectations are set at precisely
just
the right...
Just everything I've read, like, I'm looking at a screenshot right now, it's like, this Nidoran's power ranking is 210. What are you talking about? What is that, yeah. What does that concept even mean?
You should read the hands-on thing on Polygon.com that me and Allegra wrote, because, like, about half of it I dedicated to the fact that I caught a Diglett, and to evolve it into a Dugtrio, I need to give it 50 Diglett's candies. And I'm like, what are you talking about? What's a Diglett's candy?
Oh, man.
There's so many choices in that game where it's like, okay, you could have just given everything a level, like level 7 or a level 9.
How about we end the podcast? Thank you all very much for listening. I'm Griffin McElroy.
I'm Nick Robinson.
No problem. Fine.